Bookworm Banquet, Episode 1.
Radio CSS Media,
your source for family-centered content.
RadioCSS.com. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Episode 1 of Bookworm Banquet. I am your host, JD, along with my co-host, Nicole.
Hey, JD, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Oh, very good. Excited to be here to do our first episode of the Bookworm Banquet book review.
Great. We're going to jump right into it. We don't have a lot of announcements, although I do want to say that if you are listening to this episode 1 and you haven't listened to episode 0 yet, you might want to check that out as it gives a complete overview of what we are going to do here with the show. So be sure to check that out. It's on the website, bookwormbanquet.com. Well, the book we're going to take a look at today is entitled The Waters Roar by Lynn Austin, published by Bethany House Publishers. And it was published a couple of years ago, but we decided to go ahead and take a look at this one. Published October of 2009. And I wanted to read a little bit of feedback that she had received for this novel. The Library Journal said, one of the genre's best historical fiction novelists. And the Christian Library Journal said, Lynn Austin is one of the most engaging authors I have ever had the privilege to read. The Library Journal also said, Austin always writes with impeccable skill and careful insight. So we're going to take a look at this. And Nicole, can you share a little bit about Lynn Austin?
Yes, I can. Lynn Austin is known for writing contemporary Christian historical novels. She is actually a four-time Christie Award winner, and she was actually a former teacher who writes now and speaks full-time, and she has written many different books. Most of them take place in the early 1900s, and she writes about actual historical events and kind of interweaves them into her fictional stories. She also is a mother. She has three children, lives in Chicago, Illinois. And if you want to know anything else about her and her books, you can check her out at lynnaustin.org.
Great. Now we're going to jump right into the review here. And we're going to give you a little summary of the story. As I mentioned, this is a novel. And so Nicole's going to read a little bit of an overview of the story for us.
Yep, her book is entitled Though Waters Roar, and it's actually kind of a three-in-one story, and it tells of the recollections of a young girl who finds herself in trouble, and while she has some time on her hands, she's actually sitting in a jail cell, she reflects on the life of her grandmother and her mother. Now, these two women are very, very different, and Harriet, who is this girl who's got herself in trouble, finds herself torn between who she wants to be like. Her grandmother, Bibi, was a suffragette who had been known for helping runaway slaves during the Civil War, and who would eventually fight prohibition because she had a very unhappy marriage due to her husband's alcoholism, so she ends up really fighting for prohibition. She's also not a woman who's afraid to speak her mind. She helps the poor and the less fortunate with no matter what the personal cost, and she is a woman who has learned from her mistakes. So Harriet really idolizes her grandmother. On the other hand, Harriet's mother, Lucy, is the exact opposite of Bibi. She believes in being at home, throwing parties, looking pretty, kind of a shallow character, but that is until an event brings her face to face with the past regret, and it helps her realize that maybe her youngest daughter, Harriet, should be allowed to be who she wants. This is definitely a story of change for all three women, and it culminates with Harriet taking the best from both her mother and her grandmother and figuring out who she wants to be and finding her own way.
And this novel, it addresses a lot of social issues, as you mentioned, slavery, prohibition, mm-hmm. the suffrage movement. But I think Austin does it in a tasteful and interesting manner for the most part.
Yes, she does. It's most of the chapters are divided into actual this is Bibi's story, this is Lucy's story, now this is Harriet's story. And so even though they kind of interweave, most chapters are dedicated to one character individually, and so that kind of helps you follow the story along.
Now, you mentioned the interweaving and the different characters that are mentioned in the book, and the way in which the storyline progresses can sometimes be confusing because just of the style that Austin chose to use in this tale, but overall, I think the story that is spun here is pretty intriguing.
Yeah, it takes some time to get used to the back and forth, going back in the past, coming back to the present, going back to the past, coming back to the present. But once you get the hang of how she's writing, it does tell a pretty good story.
Now, spine-tingling and thrilling are not necessarily how I would describe this story, but it was hard to put down nonetheless, because you kind of get attached to the characters. And I mean, they face obstacles and issues in their lives that I'm pretty sure most readers will connect with at some level.
Yes. I mean, I don't think I've ever helped a runaway slave, but I do know what it's like to, you know, believe in something and to want to fight for something that I believe in. And so though some of these situations are extreme to our way of thinking, they definitely deal with basic human, you know, issues of right and wrong.
Right.
And it tells both sides of that. Was this right? Was this wrong? And so that she did a good job with that as well.
Right. And although their choices are not always wise, we as the reader, we have the benefit of learning from their errors. And each of the main characters have qualities and characteristics that are admirable, but they also have some that are not so attractive, just like we all do, you know. But that makes them a little bit more believable.
Yes, that's true. They all have their shortcomings. But in the end, you're kind of rooting for them all. Like, you really want them to succeed. You want them to make it in the end of the story. You want them to be successful and to come out of whatever it is they're involved in. So that helps, too, when reading that book.
Now, as far as a moral, did you pick up on any themes here that Austin was trying to get across?
You know, I believe I did. She calls the book Though Waters Roar, and the whole idea for the title is that in every life, you're going to come through storms. There's going to be situations where it's going to get a little bit rocky and a little bit unstable. But her basic theme is, though the waters roar, as long as you're trusting in God, then he'll take you through and eventually you're going to find your path. And so a lot of her book is based on, she has a lot of scripture in this book. She has a lot of prayer in this book, a lot of trusting in God, letting him lead your path, not trying to pull out from his will. And so I do commend her for that. Also, she talks a lot about that kind of that idea of the ripples in the water, where you drop the pebble in the water and then the ripples get bigger and bigger and bigger until they span out across the pond. And so her point being that the decisions that we make don't just affect our lives, but they affect the lives of those around us. And sometimes the effect is far greater than we actually realize. And she also makes the point that sometimes we have to forget about living for just ourselves. And when we forget about just living for ourselves, then sometimes we can really make a positive difference in somebody else's life, as she proves through the story of the grandmother helping the runaway slaves. And then there's also several scenes in the book about the wealthy women during her time helping the poor, like during seasons of flood and disease. There's a cholera epidemic that happens in the book, and how these women who are wealthy and can be safe and taken away from that are willing to give up who they are to go down and make the sacrifice to help other people survive. So she does make those points as well.
Right. And there was, to me, there was two major themes that kind of came to life to me. And the first was the theme of reliance on God. It's very apparent throughout the generations of families that are brought to life in this book. And while it's not extremely overt, it's definitely recognizable. And the other one is that human nature, our human nature, is always to do what pleases our own selves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that attitude's not glorified in this story, but it is an integral part of the storyline. But it shows the error of living one's life solely with this mindset. So I think she does bring home that point really well.
Yes, I believe that she does. And I think that she kind of ends the whole story with that basic concept of just learn from the mistakes of others. You don't have to make them all yourself. You know, you've got this girl, Harriet, who has made a major mistake, but she's sitting there reflecting on the mistakes of her grandmother, the mistakes of her mother, and how maybe she doesn't have to make all those same mistakes. She can learn from the things that they did as well.
Right. And it's definitely a thought-provoking read. You know, there's a lot of history involved in it. You mentioned to me earlier on the phone when we were discussing it that there are several characters that are, you know, our actual true historical figures. And so she weaves those into the narrative, which is really good.
Yes, because a lot of her story is based on the suffragette movement as well and women's rights. She deals with characters like Lucretia Mott's and Susan B. Anthony. These are women that actually had lived and had fought for the rights of women. And they actually aren't just characters that are spoken of, but they're actually characters in the book that these characters actually meet. And so that always makes it interesting.
Now, I do kind of feel that she did overplay that theme a little bit too much, but I mean, that's just my personal opinion.
Well, I will agree with you there, speaking from a woman's point of view. She did overplay the women liberation movement just a little bit too much, but it wasn't too much to ruin the entire book, so.
Right. And it definitely made me want to do a little bit more research on that period in our history as well.
Yeah, she had some pretty historical things to mention and make note of that do make you wonder, did that really happen? Huh, that's kind of interesting. I actually learned a lot about the runaway slaves and how they got to freedom that I didn't know before. And so that was interesting as well. One other thing that I think this book does make you think about, especially being a female, if you have siblings that are sisters or a mother as a woman, this book really does deal with the relationships of mothers and daughters. And so it kind of makes you think about your relationship with your siblings and your parents as well.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And I really did grow to like the character of the grandmother, Bibi.
Well, she was definitely a colorful character. She was obviously very strong, you know, individual. She had a lot of, backbone, but she also had a very kind heart, and it came out many different ways. And so she was very colorful. I enjoyed when the chapter dealt with her, I thoroughly enjoyed those chapters and her relationship with Horatio and all those things. So
one part that I really liked, and I don't know why, it just kind of stood out to me, but I did like the part where Harriet's father, who was a successful businessman, hired her to work in his department store, and she began outperforming all of the men in the department store. I thought that whole section of the story was really good.
Yes, actually it was. And he kept trying to get her to be a lady and to go off to school and to do all these things. And she was telling him, you can't run this business without me. You need me. And so it was kind of a cute part. But once again, there's that struggle between who she's supposed to be, who society says she is, and who she wants to be.
Right.
You know, the book definitely deals with parental expectations. It deals with society's expectations. And then it deals with our own personal expectations. So she does a very good job at showing all those different sides.
While I wouldn't say that this is my favorite book ever, and it's not one that I would normally choose to read, but I definitely thought I did get something out of it. And I thought the exploration of that time period and the way those characters may have reacted to certain circumstances that were going on at that time definitely was worth reading. And so I would recommend this book, and I would recommend it primarily to women. I think it's going to appeal more to women than it would to men. And I think probably older teens would probably be the youngest that would probably enjoy this book.
I agree. It definitely is told from a woman's point of view, and it tells the stories of women, and it really deals with that whole women's liberation movement. And so it definitely is more for the female persuasion. And like you said, definitely for older teen girls. It does deal with some adult situations, troubles with marriages, alcoholism, even the slavery issue, some things that may not be suitable for younger girls.
Right. So overall, what would you rate this book?
Out of 5 stars, I would give it about a 3.
That's exactly what I was going to rate it as well. I think 3 stars out of 5 for Lynn Austin's The Waters Roar.
Yes, this is definitely a book worth looking into if you want to whet your appetite with this part of history and perhaps learn a little bit more. This is a good place to start.
Definitely.
And now for something completely different.
And now it's time for Nicole's Bookworm Fact.
Oh, yes, I'm very excited about today's Bookworm Fact because it's about one of my favorite authors, and I know some of you guys are going to shake your heads when you hear this, but one of my favorite authors is Dr. Seuss. What child or adult, for that matter, doesn't love a good rhyme? And Dr. Seuss is known for his fabulous rhyming stories. He's known for books such as The Cat in the Hat, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and Horton Hears a Who, of course. But his most famous book is probably Green Eggs and Ham. Who's read Green Eggs and Ham? It's a fantastic story. And it's this book which actually started the trend toward these other books of wonder and rhyme. But please tell me, does anybody know where Dr. Seuss, whose real name, by the way, is Theodore de Seuss Gazelle, got the idea for the original Green Eggs and Ham? Believe it or not, he wrote Green Eggs and Ham on a dare. His editor, Bennett Cerf, dared him to write a book using no more than 50 different words. And ta-da! He did it, wrote. That book only has 50 different words in it, and they're all about green eggs and ham. So.
Wow.
That's kind of interesting.
That's crazy. 50 words.
It's only 50 different words. And, I mean, who's never read Green Eggs and Ham?
Right.
It's one of the classic books of children's literature.
That is amazing. I now that you say that, you can kind of see that, because a lot of, you know, obviously a lot of the words are repeated over and over.
Yeah, but he's, you know, Dr. Seuss is one of my favorite writers because he's got such great rhythm. All his books have a beautiful flow to them.
Yeah. Well, actually, one of my favorites by him is The Cat in the Hat.
Oh, yes, with Thing One and Thing Two and kids and the, yeah, those are great stories.
Well, thank you, Nicole. That's great. Well, I think that is all we have for you this time. If you would like to get in touch with us, there's several ways you can do that. First and foremost, you can check out our website, bookwormbanquet.com. Show notes will be there and links to all of the books that we have discussed on this episode. And you can purchase those. And if you do decide to purchase any of the books that we discuss, we would really appreciate if you would use the links in our show notes, because that helps support Bookworm Banquet, and we would really appreciate that. Nicole, can you give out the rest of our contact information?
Yes, absolutely. If you would like to leave us a message, you can leave us a voicemail or a text message at 623-688-2770. And please feel free to stop by our website at any time, bookwormbanquet.com.
And you can always email us feedback@bookwormbanquet.com, and we'd love to hear from you. And if you are subscribed to our show via iTunes, we'd really appreciate it if you would leave a comment in iTunes and a rating if you feel that we deserve it. And we would really appreciate that.
Absolutely. We are doing this for you, and so we'd love to have your feedback, know what you think. And also, please don't forget to leave any comments about books that you would like for us to review.
Definitely. That's one of the things what we really would like to hear is, you know, what's your favorite book? One that you would really like for us to give our opinion on, or one that you haven't read yet and you want to know if it's worth buying? We will definitely do our best to check out what we think is some of the best reading out there right now. And as we mentioned in episode zero, it could be an old book or it could be a brand new release. So anything that you would like for us to check out, definitely let us know.
Absolutely. We are all about reading things that are worthwhile.
We'll see you all next time.
Bye.
Bookworm Banquet is a production of Radio CSS Media at radiocss.com.